Amen. Thanks, Ed. It's a blessing to be here and a joy to see you all tonight and see your pastor here again and enjoy some fellowship. And as your pastor said, we were at school there together in college and enjoyed the time there in the dorm together. I think it was 1 year we spent in the same dorm and being the two Chads in there. And so it's been a blessing to know him and just over the years to see how the Lord's been working in his life and to be able to finally come up here and see what God's doing here and to see, you know, a lighthouse in this area. Amen. And a lighthouse that is reaching people with the gospel. And you know what? I often say this almost at every church, but you know, you don't have to go to Kenya and South Sudan to find lost people. And I know you know that, but you know, well, I sometimes need to be reminded that right here in America, it's a huge mission field. There's people all over our country who don't truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And some that would maybe even think they're okay, but they don't truly know Christ. And just continue to be that light. You know, God has called us specifically to go, you know, to Kenya, to go to South Sudan and reach those people. But as believers, you know, every single one of us are called to be a witness. That's our calling. Now, where God places us is going to be different. But for every single one of us, though, the calling is the same. It's to tell people the gospel. It's to reach people. To reach people with the gospel of Christ. And no matter what career that the Lord may have you in, no matter where you may be, again, it's the same. To reach people with the gospel. And so, well, tonight we're going to be in the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. So the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to just consider a couple of verses here tonight, verses 5 and 6. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and if you are physically able, I ask that you would stand as we read the word here tonight. So Proverbs chapter 3, looking at verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father, as we come here tonight into your house, I thank you for the privilege that we have to even be here tonight. Help us never to take for granted, Lord, this opportunity. Thank you for the freedoms that we have here in this great nation. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as believers to apply your word to our heart, to our lives, to be doers of your word, not hearers only. And Father, if there is anybody that is here that does not know you as Savior, I pray that tonight would be that night, that they would give their life completely to you. And we do love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. These two verses are really verses that I've known most of my life, really from the time I was a child, learned these verses, memorized them, and have just been very common verses in my life. But you know, as I started getting into flight training, these verses really became a little bit more real to me. And I'll explain that here as we go. But the Lord, He used them and brought them to my life more often. And my understanding of what it means to trust the Lord became a little bit more clear. Now, I'm not saying it's any easier. Sometimes it can be hard because we don't see the path ahead of us, do we? We can't see the path ahead of us. But we simply need to do this, to trust the Lord. Now, a couple stories here that I want to share with you here. So it was in the evening of July 16th, 1999. There was a small plane called the Piper Saratoga that took off from Essex County Airport in New Jersey, and it was en route to Martha's Vineyard Airport in Massachusetts. Now, sadly, this flight never made it to its destination, as it ended up crashing into the Atlantic Ocean about an hour after takeoff. And some of you might already be familiar with this story because it made national news. And the pilot of that flight was John F. Kennedy Jr. His wife also was on that flight, as well as his sister-in-law. They were passengers. And so after investigation, the NTSB, which they're the ones that often investigate aircraft accidents. So they investigated it and ended up concluding that the probable cause of this accident was something called spatial disorientation. Now, I'm not here to see what the real cause was, but more to look at this term, spatial disorientation. Now, there was another accident just really a few years ago, about 3 years ago in California that took place. A helicopter on January 26th, 2020, that was carrying 9 people. And again, many of you are probably familiar with this one because it also made national news because the legendary NBA star Kobe Bryant was on that helicopter and ended up killing all 9 people. Well, again, after investigation, NTSB concluded that the probable cause was this term, spatial disorientation. Spatial disorientation. And so spatial disorientation, just to give a definition here, is it's the inability of a person to determine his true body position, motion, and altitude relative to the earth or his surroundings. Or in other words, basically, it's confusion. Don't know where you're at on this earth. And so most of the time it has to do with aviation, and where you would hear this term would be in the realm of aviation, because obviously when you're in the sky, in the clouds, you're not attached to the ground. And so especially when a pilot's flying through the clouds, he can easily become disoriented. You can easily become disoriented because, again, you're not attached to the ground. And so if you've been on a commercial airliner, you've flown through the clouds, you look out the window, and you can't see anything, right? It's just white. It's just clouds. You know, the pilot sees the exact same thing that you do. So they see the exact same thing that you do. So how does the pilot know where he's going? How does he know if he's turning? How does he know where the ground is? Because you can't see the ground. And sometimes when the fog is real low, especially even coming down towards the runway, how does a pilot know even where the runway's at? Well, of course, airplanes have what's called instruments there in the cockpit that pilots have to follow. They have to look at. They have to follow those instruments. And so during my own flight training, I was able to get my instrument rating. And so basically the instrument rating, it's a very intense training where we learn to simply basically follow those instruments. We learn to fly by those instruments, not looking outside at all, just looking at those instruments and flying by them, not seeing the ground and nothing around us. And so flying simply by those instruments. And so I have a few examples of instruments here. These are coasters, but on the front of these are some examples of instruments that we use as pilots, and I'll put these on the table a little bit later. But so we have an instrument that is called an attitude indicator. So the attitude indicator basically tells whether a pilot's turning left or right or climbing or descending. It helps him know, in a sense, where he's going or what the attitude of the airplane is. And that could be a, of course, message in and of itself. The attitude indicator, the attitude has to be right. And so, of course, then also there's the airspeed indicator, which is pretty self-explanatory. It tells you how fast you're going or how slow you're going. And then we have what's called the heading indicator, which would be similar to the magnetic compass, which there would also be a magnetic compass. So it has north, south, east, west, and helps the pilot navigate the direction that he's going. And also there's an altimeter. So tells the pilot what altitude he's at. So these are just, this is just an example of 4 instruments, and there's others. There's several more that have to do with navigation and his rate of descent, or how quickly he's descending, how quickly he's climbing. And so during my instrument training, I had to learn really each instrument, learn how to interpret each instrument, what each instrument is saying, had to learn how to correct when I was getting off on one of those instruments, if it was telling me something and I needed to get back to my heading or get back to my altitude that I needed to be at. So I had to learn all those things. But when it came down to it, the basics of instrument flying that I quickly found out was simply this idea, this fact that I needed to trust them. I had to trust them. I had to trust that they were going to lead me to the runway. And you know, there was a particular time I remember that I was, you know, flying in the clouds, and often when we did our flight training, even instrument training, I would usually put on a pair of glasses that was fogged over up top, and just the bottom were clear, and so it would take away all the peripheral vision, so to where I couldn't see outside. I was just looking at the instruments. But there are a few times that we did do some actual, you know, cloud flying, instrument flying. And so there's a time I remember we were on an approach. I couldn't see anything. We were on this approach into one of the airports there in Oklahoma City. And, you know, I had to follow those instruments. And I remember even some of the feelings there that, you know, I can't see the runway. Can't see the runway. Of course, I'm just looking at the instruments. I wouldn't do any good to look up out the windshield anyway, because again, all you can see is clouds. And so I'm following these instruments, just trusting that once we break through the clouds, once we get low enough, that the runway is going to be right there, straight ahead. Just trusting that it's going to be there. Trusting that these instruments are taking me right to it. Now, of course, I'm also listening to air traffic control and following what they're saying and what heading to turn to. But I'm having to trust those instruments. And you know, there was no better feeling than when we broke out of the clouds, finally got low enough, and there it was, the runway, straight ahead. And those instruments had led me in that right direction. And I was able to land safely, come safely to that destination. But I had to learn, again, just to trust those instruments, to follow them, completely trust them. Now, as we look in our passage here tonight, in verse 5, the first word that we see is this word trust. This word trust. Now, trust, that word trust simply has this meaning, a really short definition I have here, but it means to put confidence in. To put confidence in. Put all your confidence in. Now, I had to put all my confidence in those instruments. I was going to get to that destination safely. But in these verses, we see that it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So put all your confidence, put your confidence in the Lord. Put your confidence in God. Trust in the Lord. And then it has this very important phrase. It says, with all thine heart. I mean, that small word right there, that little word all, A-L-L, all, is a very important word, because it doesn't say with some of thy heart. It doesn't say with a portion of thy heart. No, it says with all thy heart, everything. Trust in the Lord with everything, all of thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. We have to put our trust all the way in God, all the way, completely. You know, if a pilot were to try to trust his instruments, but he's also trying to rely upon his own feelings or own thoughts, and he could end up in a mess. He could end up in a wreck. Now, one thing I failed to mention here, but with spatial disorientation, usually it takes place when a pilot's not trusting his instruments. A lot of times it's a pilot who hasn't received that instrument training. And when you're in the clouds and you don't have any reference to the ground, to the sky, or anything, then you can easily get confused. This is where spatial disorientation comes in. But I've even felt this myself. My feelings will start telling me something else, something other than what the instruments are telling me. My feelings will start telling me maybe that I'm turning to the left. Okay, so my feelings are telling me I'm turning to the left, but I look at my instruments and my instruments are saying that you're not turning at all. It's a weird feeling. My instruments are saying something and my feelings are saying something totally different. What I'm feeling is totally different. Now, if I were to try to correct for that, so my feelings are saying I'm turning left, so I'd correct for that by turning right, then according to the instruments, I'd actually be turning right instead of being straight and level. And you can see where this could be a problem because pilots would just get more confused. And if they're not going to trust their instruments, they're going to get more and more confused. And there's been time, these were just two accidents that I mentioned here, but times where pilots have even landed upside down because they didn't know where they were. They got confused. They weren't trusting those instruments. And you know, when it comes to life and when it comes to what this world is saying and what our society is telling us, you know, there's this overall teaching that you need to follow your heart. That's what our society would say. That's what our culture would say. Follow your feelings. Whatever you think is best for your life, go and do it. Whatever you feel, just follow your heart. You know, even in little kids' movies, Disney, they're teaching that. Follow your heart. Follow whatever you think is best. You do you. There's all kinds of sayings out there. And we see that in our world, in our society, even to the point where they want it to be allowed for little children to choose their own gender. It's whatever you think you want to be, you can go do that. But you know, Scripture makes it clear what happens or when you follow your heart. I mean, there's passages throughout the Bible that talk about following the heart. And one of those, I'm just going to read here real quick, but it's also in the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says this about someone who follows their heart. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." So he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. The Bible says that if you are following your own self, trying to follow your own heart, that's foolish. You're a fool if you try to do that. It's not my words, but that's what God says. That's what the Bible says. You're a fool if you try to follow your own self, if you try to follow your own heart. You know, to see our society and what they're teaching, follow your own heart and follow whatever you feel is best. But then when it comes to professions, like when it comes to flying an airplane, a pilot, you don't want him doing that. No, you don't want him doing that. Usually you don't want a doctor doing that, following his own heart. But then when it comes to other things in life, they say, you know, do whatever you think is best. You know, we can't do that. The Bible says we have to trust in the Lord. We have to follow God. Trust in the Lord, and it says, with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We can't rely upon ourselves. We can't lean upon ourselves, our own understanding, our own thoughts about life. We need to look to the Lord. We need to follow Him. Then there in verse 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him." In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. So this word acknowledge has this idea, the idea of knowing or learning to know or consider. So in all thy ways, in every aspect of your life, in every decision in life, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him and acknowledge God. Consider God. Strive to know God and God's will. Consider what God would want for you. In every decision in life, consider God's will. Consider what He wants you to do. So always acknowledge Him. And this next phrase really sums up these two verses well, because it says, "And He shall direct thy paths." He shall direct thy paths. That's a promise. That's a promise of God. No, God wants to direct us. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He will direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. He wants to guide us. Really, I mean, he wants us to have a life of joy. He wants us to have a life of peace and victory. Now, that's not saying that life's going to be easy. I think all of us know that, but life's not easy. But even in those difficult, those hard times of life, and we know this as believers, you can still have peace. You can still have a peace. As long as you're trusting God, you can still have a peace in your heart that God is with you. You can still have joy. You know, as believers, we have to be the most joyful people on this earth, no matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what life throws at us. I know that difficulties can come, and loss of loved ones, and financial struggles, and I know it's not easy. But when we have God, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ living in our lives, we can trust Him. We can trust that He is with us, that He is guiding us, and that He wants what's best for our lives. We don't always understand it, but God wants what is best. He wants us to have that joy, to have that peace, because He loves us. He cares for us. There's a quote here out of the King James Bible commentary that I believe sums up these verses well, and it says, "All reliance on our own understanding must be forever relinquished and replaced by a total trust in His ability to make a straight and profitable path for our feet." So we need to relinquish everything. Forever relinquish everything about our lives and just totally trust in Him. Totally trust in God's ability, God's direction, and follow it. Trust Him. So simply this, God can be trusted because He will lead us on the right path. And really it's a basic concept of life that God wants us to know, that God wants us to learn. And we can trust God. We can trust God because He will lead us. We can be sure that He will lead us in the right direction, down the right path. If we go down any other path and not trusting God and trying to follow ourselves, and you know that path is going to lead eventually towards destruction. It's going to lead to heartache. It's going to lead to sorrow. This world's ideas, this world's answers for life will never lead us in the right direction. Because it's only the Lord that we can trust. Only Him that we can trust. Now you saw a little bit there in the video, you know, when I was 6 years old, I had a desire to be a missionary pilot. From that young age, I wanted to be a missionary pilot. And you know, as I got older, teen years, even in the college years, I really struggled with that. Struggled with whether that's what God wanted for my life. Now, does God really want that, or is this just a desire of my heart? You know, I love flying, but is this really what God wants for me, or is this just something that I want to do? So I struggled with that for several years, and just wondering, and you know, really it was just as I tried to stay faithful, of course, in Bible reading and prayer and being in church, hearing God's Word preached, and seeking godly counsel. It was just over a process of time that the Lord continued to work in my life and showed me that He had put that desire in my life, in my heart, for a reason. And it was specifically to call me to use aviation on the mission field. And you know, I had to simply trust that God was working, that God was at work. And again, through the years, as I've gotten the flight training, it's been a process of just trusting that God's going to provide. Just growing in that faith, knowing that God is at work, that God is leading, that God is directing. Now, you know, some things in life that we have that we can say that are instruments in our life. You know, a pilot has instruments. Okay, he has instruments that he has to follow. You know, we also have instruments that guide us, that lead us in life. Now, first of all, this right here is our primary instrument. It's the Word of God. This is our primary instrument. You know, we can follow it. We can trust it. It will guide us. it will lead us. But you know, just as a pilot needs to constantly be looking at his instruments, when he's in the clouds, when I'm in the clouds flying, I'm just supposed to be looking at those instruments and following them. You know, life is really similar to flying in the clouds. We can't see ahead, can we? We can't see what's in front of us. We can't even see what's in the next hour. We don't see the destination. And we may have in our mind what we're supposed to do next, but truly we can't see what's next. So we need direction. We need guidance. We need an instrument to guide us. And again, first and foremost, this is the very first instrument. This is the primary instrument that we have. Also, you know, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in your life, living in your heart. And the Holy Spirit is there to help guide you, to help guide your life and to help you discern between right and wrong and to help you along the way. And that the Holy Spirit is an instrument in our life to help us, to teach us, to guide us. You know, also some other instruments that I believe God has given to us would be like spiritual authority in our lives, spiritual counselors, maybe a pastor, or maybe there's a youth pastor, or maybe you have a parent that is a spiritual authority in your life. And you know, as they follow Christ, you know, we can follow them and follow their counsel in our lives, and they can be a help, they can be an instrument in our lives. Now, you know, when it comes to instruments, in the airplane, now these instruments, they are man-made, which means they can fail. There's a possibility they can fail. That's not to scare anybody, but it's a possibility they can fail. And pilots are often taught to recognize those failures and to rely upon the other instruments that are working. But when it comes to instruments in our life, first of all, our primary instrument will never fail. This will never fail. You know, a pilot's instruments may fail, but we can be sure of the fact that this will never fail. That it will always be right. That it is always true. It will always guide us, always lead us down the right path. It will never fail. Now, when it comes to those human instruments in our life, like a pastor or a spiritual leader in our life, again, they're human beings, and they can fail. You know, pastors through the years have failed at times. But you know, I think of what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if you see that spiritual leader is doing what he can to follow God, he's not perfect, but they're following the Lord, then you can follow them. You can trust their counsel. You can trust in what they're telling you. But, you know, to know our instruments, to be able to follow those instruments, we have to know them. We have to know how to interpret them. Just as much as the pilot needs to know what these instruments are saying, what they're telling him, how to interpret them, how to correct when he gets off, we have to do the same thing. We have to be looking at our instrument. And every single day, we need to be looking into it. We need to be following it. You know, you need to be reading your Bible every single day. Really, that's a basic thing when it comes to the Christian walk, is reading your Bible. And not just, you know, reading it just to check the box off and to say, oh yeah, I read it. I can tell Pastor I read my Bible. But no, it's reading it to truly try to get something out of it. Truly trying to seek the Lord and what He would have for your life. So we need to follow those instruments. We need to know those instruments. Now, of course, first of all, we have to trust in the Lord for our salvation. Salvation is the first thing we have to trust the Lord for. And so, you know, I never want to take for granted that everyone here is saved. So, you know, if you're not saved and you're here tonight, when it comes to salvation, you have to put your complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't withhold anything. You have to completely trust in Him. You have to completely trust that He died for your sins and that He's given you this free gift of salvation. And you have to put your all your trust in Him, your faith in Him, ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You know, that's what salvation is. It's really simple. As human beings, we often make it complicated. We complicate the matter. But really, the Lord knows that we can't handle complication of anything. We're very simple people. We're very simple beings. And so God made salvation very simple. He's just offering this gift. And so all you have to do is trust in Him. Now, if you are saved, then you know what? You've trusted in the Lord for the most important thing in your life, for your salvation. You've trusted in Him for your salvation, for eternal life with Him. Now, why is it so difficult sometimes for us to trust the Lord for other things? Now, we can trust Him for the most important thing about life, salvation. But then, sometimes when it comes to finances or health, you know, we struggle to trust Him. Or with our kids, sometimes we struggle to trust Him, that He knows what's best, that He knows what's right. But listen, if we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ with our salvation, then we can trust Him with everything. And that's really what our passage is telling us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Every aspect of life. I mean, you name it. I'm not going to be able to name everything under the sun here. Every aspect of life. I'm not going to be able to name it all. I'm going to name a few things here, but you know, you can think about your life and areas that maybe you struggle to trust. Trust the Lord. First of all, you know, one area that I would consider is that area of finances. You know, I know that it can be difficult at times, and especially times when we go through a recession or economic hardships, economic struggles, and you know, it can be hard. Just, you know, obviously we're trying to provide basic needs for our family, for us, for our family, and it can be difficult. And, you know, the Lord wants us, of course, to give to His house, to the church, to see that the gospel would spread. He wants to see us give, I believe, to the work of missions, to see the gospel spread around this world, not just in our own community, but all around this world. And I know at times it can be difficult. You know, those times when I was working at O'Reilly's and I was doing this flight training, the Lord still had us, you know, giving to Faith Promise Missions. And when missions conference rolled around, often the Lord would have us raise that amount. And in my own flesh, sometimes would think, Lord, how are we going to do this? You know that we're trying to pay for, of course, the bills and all this flight training. How are we going to be able to give all this and do all this? But, you know, the Lord has constantly come through and shown us that we can just simply trust Him. As we obey Him and give exactly what He wanted us to give, then you know, He provided. He continued to provide, continued to give, continued to give us exactly what we needed. And so you can trust God with your finances. If the Lord is laying upon your heart, and I know it's not missions conference here, but if the Lord would lay upon your heart even a certain amount to give so that the gospel can spread even more, I encourage you just to follow Him. Just to follow Him. Doesn't matter what it is, follow Him. And ultimately, you know, 100% of what we have, our finances, is the Lord's anyway. You know, it's not just that 10% and 90% is ours. No, 100% is the Lord's. God just asks us to give at least 10% back. I think God wants us to do even more. He wants us to do even more, to stretch our faith in Him. We can trust Him. We can trust Him, of course, also with our health. You know, there can be health struggles that come along. But you know what? We can trust Him. We can trust that the Lord knows what is best. And in those times, when there are those health struggles, maybe it seems like you're going to the doctor often. You know, I wonder if sometimes the Lord allows those things simply so that the gospel can go to those places, to those doctors, to those nurses, to others that are in those hospitals, so that the gospel can go. We always need to look for opportunities to spread the gospel, even in those hard struggles, hard times in life. Also, you know, one area that I think about is that area of trusting the Lord with our children. trusting that the Lord knows what's best. If your child comes to you and tells you that they believe the Lord is calling them to go as a missionary to Saudi Arabia, you know, what would your response be? What would your response be? Of course, the thought is, well, that's a dangerous place. But what would your response be? You know, I'd hope that no one would discourage their child from that. And maybe you hopefully would encourage them in that and would at least tell them, you know, I'll pray with you about that. Because ultimately, wherever God sends your child, wherever your child goes in this world, even if it is to Saudi Arabia to be a missionary, you know, they're going to be safer there in God's will than they would here in the United States of America, out of God's will. They would be much safer there. So we just need to trust God, that God would lead and direct and guide our children. And again, you know, we could name area after area of life, different aspects of life that come up. And ultimately, we need to trust God with it all. Trust that God is at work, that God is guiding, that God is leading, that God knows what is best. You know, He's our loving Father. He's our loving Savior. He gave His life for us. He sacrificed Himself on the cross for us. We could at least trust Him, right? If He loves us so much that He'll die on the cross, we can trust Him. We can trust that He wants what is best. I love that hymn, Trust and Obey. And really, you think about it, trust and obedience, they go hand in hand. You know, you can't have trust unless you're obeying. You can't say that you're trusting God if you're not obeying Him, if you're not doing what He wants you to do. Because if you're disobeying God, if you're not obeying God, then you're not trusting Him. You're not fully trusting God. So really, trusting and obeying go hand in hand. So that song goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It really goes right along with this. These verses here. He shall direct thy paths. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So we can trust the Lord because He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. And I know there's, you know, areas for every single one of us because we are human beings. There's areas that I struggle with that I need to trust God more with. And often need to be reminded of this fact, just to trust Him. Just to trust Him. Remember, we can't see what's ahead. We can't see what's ahead in life. So we have to trust God. Don't listen to what this world is saying and follow your own self. Follow your own heart. Maybe you're even a young person here today and you don't know what the Lord would have you to do in your life. Maybe you're struggling with some things and what God would have you to do. Well, let me encourage you to just trust Him. Stay in God's Word. And in those teen years, in those college years, I struggled with that and knowing what God's will was. But I just found as I try to stay faithful, again, just reading His Word, listening to godly counsel, just over time, God made it more clear. And it's just the day after day. You just take one day at a time, seeking God, following Him, trusting Him, living for Him. And He'll continue to show you. He'll continue to lead you. He'll continue to guide you. And just be obedient. Be wherever God has you right now, you know, fully serve Him. Wherever He has you. And trust that wherever He takes you next, that He'll lead you to the right place. And that you can just simply and completely trust Him. So trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, I want to thank You so much for Your Word tonight. Thank You for even just these two short verses, Father, and just this simple thought, Lord, to trust You. It's really a basic thing in life, Lord, of trusting you, following you, knowing that you are guiding, knowing that you are leading, and help each one of us to trust you as we ought and to be obedient to you and to your will. Lord, in every decision that we have in life, when struggles come in life, again, just help us to trust you. Pray that you would work in hearts, Father, as only you can. May your Holy Spirit do a work here tonight. And thank you so much for your love, for your goodness to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.